Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Go on, I'll have a Pimm's.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are we doing? All right.
All right. Good, how are you?
I'm okay, but where's Mark?
I'm here.
Not you. The other
mean
one.
The other one, the one that's not sat
oh,
down.
Oh, you mean Mark that's not here?
Oh, yeah, is he? Yeah. Oh, hold on. What's he trying?
Oh,
there we go. No.
You are!
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Are you happy, mate?
Buzzy.
Don't have that too
long. You know why, Mark?
Don't have that on too
you
long. We'll get a copyright strike.
How long can I play it for? 30 seconds. I'll turn it down.
I'm guessing you didn't get tickets.
I did get tickets.
Hey, oh, yeah. Well done, mate.
The bad news is I'm about to sell the Tesla.
Paid a bit over the odds.
I bet you are so chuffed, because we all know, we've talked about it
enough. I was shaking like one of those dogs that was going to the toilet when I got to the front of queue.
Well, first off, Mark, me? You've said on numerous occasions it'll never happen.
Well, it's still not happened technically yet. there's still time for him to split up. There's still time for it all to go pear shaped.
Call it, didn't I? You did call it.
You did.
You did call it.
I was very dubious, I'll be honest.
I mean, clearly the skin, that's what it's down to. They're short money.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
They're doing it for money.
But why now, though?
Money.
That's what I don't
money.
Understand.
Exactly the reason why I said. Because when next year lapses, which is the 30th anniversary, what's the story? There won't be another anniversary that would be, you know, justifiable and for them to be, you know, because Noel is 57.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not going to be, you know, wanting to do a reunion when he's nearly 70. And 31 years has not got the same ring to it, has it? It's a 30th anniversary.
Yeah, true.
What I would say is don't get too excited, Mark, because I remember back in the day when I got Michael Jackson tickets.
We both did. I'm hoping that one of these aren't going to have an overdose.
I don't think it's an overdose. It's an argument, I think, that you've got to worry about.
So that's my question then. Do you think they've actually made up then? Or do you think this is one of them things where they've gone, oh, sorry, let's just do it?
What's going on behind the closed doors?
Exactly. Well, I'm not sure. And well, nobody knows. But what is interesting is that there was a guy on Radio X. He came on, obviously, he was one of the producers, I think. And he was feeding into Chris Moyles. He'd done some research. And it was exactly the same number of years, days, weeks and days to them splitting up from getting together to when it was from them breaking up and getting back together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. To the day.
That's weird.
Crazy.
That is crazy. I mean,
either getting together or the release of Definitely Maybe, which I think is probably more accurate, because they were actually together before Noel took them on.
Right. You talk about them arguing, but actually, that was part of the charm, wasn't it, when they were on stage? They were all, even on stage, live, they were arguing, weren't they, on stage?
Well, I think that were also a bit of the downfall of, I can't be doing, you know, Noel's like, I can't be doing with this, stop swinging your guitar at me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
which is what I think. But yeah, I tell you what, it was a stressful morning.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, what was it like getting the tickets? Because I've heard some stories.
So I got up, I was laid in bed, and I'd set my alarm for 8 o'clock. I thought, right, set my alarm for 8 o'clock, get up, have an hour, setting everything up. But then I don't know what happened. I think I heard a car door, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I looked at the clock and laid there for a bit, 10 past 4. I thought, sod it, I'm going to get up. So I got
a week early.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and obviously, because I'd seen the day before that when if you go onto the ticket page, you were presented with a, you know, the countdown clock of when the tickets go on sale. So I thought, I've got an idea, light bulb moment. So I got all my laptops set up, tablet, phones. So I got multiple devices. So they were counting down, and I thought, the minute that counts down to zero, I'll end up straight in the queue for the actual tickets, and I'll be, you know, one of the first. But anyway, it got all the way down to 9 o'clock. The clock had stopped ticking, and then it said, please refresh your browser.
Oh,
I know. I was mortified. Anyway, so I pressed refresh, and then stuck in that long, you know, with the person, the time thing running across, you're in the queue or whatever, lobby, waiting. And it was really stressful. So I was just sat in that queue, and then it was, I can't remember what numbers it were, but it was silly numbers.
The amount of people I know, and you're probably the same, that have all done the same thing. Yeah. Oh, you've heard exactly. from everyone. I was sat in this queue.
Yeah, I got the Ticketmaster app, and in my lack of wisdom, I suppose, I got the Ticketmaster app on my phone, and I got the browser on my laptop, and I didn't realise that one would be conflicting against the other. So it got to 25 past nine, and I was like, it's not happening. Do you know what I mean? At this time, I'm thinking, this gig has sold out. It's going to have sold out in 10 or 15 minutes. You know, nobody knew any different at that point, because it was just like, well, we're expecting a really fast sellout. So I got to that time, and I said to Ellen, sod it, come on, let's take Darcy to training. She went, no, you wait here. You wait for your tickets. I'll take Darcy training. I said, I'm not sitting staring at my screen, getting myself all depressed that I've not got tickets. Sod it.
I bet you were angry at this point, though, weren't you?
Well, actually, I'd set myself up with the, if I don't get tickets for four of us, because I wanted to be there with Ellen and Darcy and Leonie, if I didn't get the four tickets, then it is what it is.
And bear in mind, it is only 25 past nine. Let alone did they know you were going to be sat there 5 or 6 hours later.
Well, so, I walked out to the car with my phone, and then my phone took me to a screen where the tickets were. So there were like two accessible ones, one with viewing something or other and another one. They were obviously for disabled people, one with a carer.
And you went for them?
So then you got hit. Yeah, no. Anyway, and then there was a list of all the tickets. So I was like, I said, Ellen, I've got to go back inside. I'm on the ticket thing. Anyway, and when I were clicking on it, it wouldn't select. You couldn't select the ticket. It was like the button were locked. And I was,
panic setting in.
I walked in the house, I looked at my laptop. My laptop was still at 80,000 or whatever it were. And I was like, this is just crazy.
Mom's got an hammer. It's it,
yeah.
Button.
And anyway, so I thought,
phone's through window.
I thought, do you know what? Sod it. The reason why it's doing that is because it's sold out. So I thought, put my logical head back on, put my phone away, go back out to the car, and we'll take Darcy training. So I did that. And then I thought, that's it. I said, Ellen said, you're right. I went, yeah, it says it is what it is. You know, the chance of me getting one was very slim, and I've not done it. So we got to rugby training.
Can I just check? You still got it running on your phone?
No.
All right.
So I closed it all down.
Oh, okay. And what time were this then, approximately?
So we got to training for about 20 to 10.
Okay.
We usually do 10 or 15 minutes Darcy practicing the kicking. And one of the dads said, did you get tickets then? I was like, no, I'm still in queue. And I was like, well, surely it's all sold out, isn't it? No. And then somebody else come over. Yeah, I'm still in queue. And I was like, yeah, but surely they've sold out. So then, obviously, I were like...
Panic sets in.
What if? So I opened the app again, and then I were like, ooh, I'm in a queue, so maybe they haven't sold out. And then I got a message popped up and said, account suspended or something to that effect. We suspect that you are a bot. And I were like, oh, this is charming. So I refreshed it. Same again. Refresh. Anyway, so I put it away and I thought, sod it, I'm not getting on. Anyway, about another half an hour or so, thought I'll have another look.
See if I can select them squares with traffic lights.
Every time
in.
Somebody walks past you at training, somebody's going, hey, did you manage to get tickets? Oh, yeah, my sister got tickets. Oh, yeah, we've been trying all morning. And I'm like, let me just try again. And it kept coming up. You know, you were blocked, but you're a bot, and this, that, and the other. Anyway, so training finished at 11 o'clock. Drove home, got home for 11:15 or whatever. Walked in the living room, and my laptop was sat at 44,000 in the queue, and I thought,
What was it when you started it, by the way?
It was 80
half a million
odd,
or something.
80 odd thousand when
it,
we
now 44,000.
It was 44,
okay.
And
right,
I thought,
so that's still clicking down.
It's
still
counting down.
Still,
so I'm thinking, And the night before, I'd been out on Lash, and I know, as you do.
As you do, yeah.
And Ellen did say to me, you could do it again in an hour this afternoon, because I think I was gigging that night. And I said, no, I'll be all right. And I thought, I've got to keep an eye on this screen, because you never know. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so I was sat watching it, and I was taking screenshots of it as it were counting down, 20,000, 10,000. I thought, oh, here we go.
Quick question. So from going from 20 to 10,000, how long you were talking? 10 minutes, an hour?
Well, I don't know exactly. By the time it got to the point where, well, I'll come to it.
Okay.
So when it got to like 1,000, then it dropped to 8, if I remember rightly, 848. Then it went literally then 800, 400, 200, 80, 40. And I was like, oh my God, I'm landing in a second. And it literally dropped in no time. This was about 1:30, I think it was.
You got in at 11. So you nearly...
Well, no, because it was still on from before
that. It was still counting down from 9 o'clock.
From 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so, anyway, and then I got into the room, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm in the room. And so I'm like, right, what do I... And there were two accessible tickets, and the only ticket available outside of those two was the VIP hospitality. You get entry to an exhibition, and you get, you know, some souvenirs and whatever, and VIP standing. £450 a ticket. So I thought, well, if I were going to pay, you know, whatever I'm going to pay, then I might as well just pay this, and it's an experience for all of us, and Ellen will kick me head in anyway. So, sod it. We'll have four of them. So I, like, closed my eyes, bit down, and thought, right, let's go for it. And anyway, I tapped on it, and it said, we were unable to reserve your tickets. Error. So we're like, what? Maybe it has sold out. So I tried it again, as you do, and you tried it again. And then I thought, I wonder if they have sold out. So I tried the accessible ones, and that said the same. So I thought... Yeah, they've sold out. Anyway, I pressed it one more time, and the screen refreshed. And when it came back up again, the two accessible tickets were there, and then the third ticket had changed. The hospitality one was no longer there. It was VIP, not VIP, in-demand standing. And it did, so the original price was £148. This was now £337.50.
Okay.
For the same ticket.
For the same ticket. But at the moment when you're like, obviously, you can imagine the panic. Yeah. You're like, oh, I've got a ticket. And you press on four and it goes, we're reserving your tickets. And you're like, oh my God, I've got tickets. And then, anyway. So, yeah, there we are. Managed to get tickets.
So you click the £300 ones.
Yeah.
It went through. It let you select four.
Yeah.
And that was it. You went.
I bought them.
For what? 1,000?
Well, the thing is, it was something like a £20 per ticket booking fee.
Was it really?
Oh, wow. It was ridiculous. By the time I'd finished, it was £1,433, I think it was.
Wow.
It were nuts.
And these were supposed to be tickets that were, in your eyes, for Manchester, which were going to be what? How much for standing?
£148.50.
They should have been.
Yeah.
And,
wow. It's interesting, because somebody put... there's obviously loads of memes knocking around. And what were quite funny, as I was obviously queuing, and there were people sending me messages, screenshots, and somebody had done a meme, and it was, you know, the queue... thing that you can see.
Yeah.
And somebody had sent one, it was like, Oasis have broken up while you're in the queue, and all that sort of stuff. Somebody's done a meme, and it was showing a picture of people queuing for, I can't remember where they were queuing for, back in 96. And they said the people at the front of the queue were paying the same price as the people at the back of the queue. But obviously,
how do you feel about having paid so much more?
So, I've got to be careful because I've sent, I filed against Ticketmaster.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't know what I can and can't say
because
I don't want to implicate anything.
Yeah.
But as many people, you know, you're in a position of, you know, I'm going to see him.
Yeah.
Do I think Ticketmaster have been unfair? Yes, absolutely. Misleading and everything. Had they have said that this was going to take place, you could have set yourself up for the fact of, right, are you going to be in a position where you're prepared to pay that, or would you let it go and just say, you know what, actually, I'll pay 150, but I'm not going to pay 350.
Because there'll be a lot of people that did what you did and spent all day or whatever and then got to that point and then not being able to afford it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, got to that end and gone, oh...
Well, I know, but you're not forced to buy the ticket.
No,
the choice
not.
Is.
This is a case of dynamic pricing. Yeah.
Dynamic pricing.
And I'd never even heard of dynamic pricing.
Oh, you haven't?
No, what? Never. Okay. I've never gone for tickets for something where, don't get me wrong, I'm aware that with festivals, for example, you get first release, second release, third release, and fourth release, but you know that each time when they go on sale, that's the price that you're paying. So, you know, we go to Kendall Colin, as you know, every year, and they'll do first release, early bird tickets first, then there'll be first release, second release, and you know that you've got to buy them within a certain amount of time or they'll sell out, and then you'll have to wait until the next batch comes on sale and they'll be more expensive. So I understand that takes place, but you're always informed throughout the whole process as to how much those tickets are going to be. Whereas this was obviously a hugely different situation. Things were crashing. I mean, you could even get tickets on, supposedly, C-Tickets and, is it StubHub?
Well,
their websites weren't even loading, so you've got all that extra, crikey, what's going off? Have they sold out? Haven't they sold out? You know, can I get a ticket? Am I not going to get a ticket? You know.
Because I know we spoke about you prior to the tickets, because you were sort of saying, oh, I think they're going to be, what did you say, something like 80 quid or something?
I said they'd originally start, oh, right.
Because
they did start at that.
Well, they did start
at
80.
At some venues, not at Manchester.
No,
and
absolutely.
And I thought, wait, because I knew you wanted tickets, and I thought, well, you're not, I don't think anybody's really good. Do we know of anybody that's paid 80 quid for tickets?
I don't know anyone.
I think
Most people in the north are going to want to watch them in Manchester, you know, home gig, you know, homecoming.
Because from what I know from social media and from you, for example, and everybody around me, everybody's paid a lot of money for these tickets. So so I'm thinking there's no way these tickets are going to be 80 quid, even when you said they would be.
And don't forget, well, no, the starting price. And don't forget that the tickets that they are 80 quid in Wembley will be in the gods.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's
and
a 90,000 capacity. You're going to be sat with binoculars on.
Can I ask, did you have to select what venue you wanted?
So that's when you get into the room.
Because at this point, you've not mentioned that, but you've actually selected that.
Do you know, with all the... I think... you've got me thinking now, because it was that frantic. I do remember choosing the day, obviously, because...
Are you sure you're going to Manchester? You're not on Isle of...
No, no,
you're
I'm
not off to Guernsey or Isle of Wight or...
I'm definitely going to Manchester on the 19th of July.
I mean, I know you'd go to Timbuktu
but
if that's what...
What I can't remember is whether I'd selected that before the panic set in or afterwards. Okay. I think it was after.
Well, the only thing I can say is that I was speaking to somebody else that did very similar to you, but then didn't end up getting tickets.
Mm.
And one of the things that she said was the thing that annoyed her the most with Ticketmaster was you had to select your venue and your date and your venue before you started queuing. And then when you got to the end of that queue, for instance, if there were nothing left for that venue. For that venue or whatever,
second
you
choices.
Almost had to start again.
No. Oh. I remember now. I'm just going through it all in my sort of clearing the fog. When you get in, you're in the queue to get in the queue, if you like, and then you're presented with a page, and it shows you each date and if there's ticket availability.
Right.
And it said low availability, tickets available, no availability on each one. Then you clicked on it, and that's when you picked your tickets.
Right. Okay.
What I'd like to know is, you know, this dynamic pricing. Right, because Oasis are blaming the Ticketmaster, and Ticketmaster are
blaming... It's like the new thing, isn't it? Like social distancing. No one had ever heard of it, and now it's the key buzzword, isn't it?
So so who do you think is telling the truth? Because one of them's lying.
I don't know, if I'm honest.
I mean, what I do know is that...
I think, well, what I will say is the only people that have called anybody else out are Oasis. They've come out and said, we had nothing to do with it. Now, nobody else has seen anything to the contrary.
Well,
the only thing that Ticketmaster have said is that dynamic pricing is legal.
It's absolutely legal.
So if anybody's almost trying to create a justification for what they've done, it's Ticketmaster.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
I've got a little bit of insight into... insight as if I've been speaking to Oasis, I haven't. But Taylor Swift, for example...
We didn't for one second think you had.
She made the decision not to have dynamic price on any of her tickets. Mm-hmm. So her ticket price were the ticket price.
Yeah.
Because she made the decision. So I would lead to think that it were Oasis that's created this and said
isn't it Live Nation that's doing the concert?
So Live Nation and Ticketmaster, they're part of the same, they merged in 2010 or 11, I think.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the way it's set up is don't whoever the production company is, whoever the company is, agree a price to the artist. So let's say Oasis or whatever. Once they've agreed that price, that's how much that artist is getting paid for that length of gigs and that amount of gigs.
Yeah.
And therefore, they then make their money. So like Oasis will make the same amount of money
regardless.
No matter how many tickets are sold.
I don't think that's
what
true.
Price. All right.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
From what my understanding is, they can set obviously a minimum price, but if they want to select dynamic pricing, then it's almost like an auction. They can get as much as they want.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind that they knew they were going to...
There are so many people involved as well, aren't there? Because you've got their management.
Well, yeah, and they'll all get a cut of that percentage.
Yeah, so they could well be.
I would say that ultimately, it's Oasis who's made this decision. That's what I would say.
I don't believe that's the case.
Because they are the band, they're in charge.
No.
Yeah,
no.
They are.
Because they are, I genuinely believe, let's say it's Live Nation. Live Nation, I think, will have gone to whoever's decided they're going to do it. They've gone to them and said, right, well, if you do it, we'll pay you this much to do it. And they'll either go, yes or no, we're prepared to do it for that fee. And then, like you said, any sales outside of that, everything from
that's how I thought it was.
Yeah, from merchandise to everything, they'll have nothing to do with it. Their money.
I don't think that's the case because, as I said, a lot of artists, ultimately artists have full control over what they decide.
Yeah.
And like I said, Taylor Swift made the decision that she didn't want dynamic pricing, she didn't do that.
She may have more like you say, we don't know. It's all
we don't know, but that's what...
I think...
Because clearly one of them's lying. Well, because they're both blaming each other.
No, they're not.
Well, they are. Oasis are saying, "Don't look at us. Nothing to do with us." And they're saying, the promoters are saying, Ticketmaster are saying, "We're only doing what the artists have told us," and they wanted dynamic pricing.
I knew that they'd made a statement saying that it's legal, but it is
legal. But yeah, you have a choice if to switch it on or off.
Mm, yeah.
So I think Oasis are just cashing in. Now, I'm not pointing a finger going, you shouldn't be doing that. But that's, I think, what they're doing.
I mean, whilst ever dynamic pricing is legal, then everyone's doing it, aren't they? I mean, it's not just concerts. You get this all the time. Flights.
I'm not a fan of Taylor Swift, but she decided not to do it.
Flights, hotels, everything at the minute seems to be dynamic pricing, even food.
I mean, for the record, dynamic pricing has been around for a long, long
time. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, it goes back to the same old conversation of what we've had before regarding supply and demand. I think what Mark's getting at, correct me if I'm wrong, no other one.
As ever.
Is it wasn't very transparent.
It wasn't transparent at all.
It wasn't very transparent. No. So like, for instance, if all the lead up to this or the marketing to this would be tickets start from this but can range up to this, then at least you can go into it with your eyes wide open.
Yeah. And but in order for that to be transparent enough, they shouldn't have said this venue will cost this much, this will cost this, it's literally tickets will start from £75 or whatever. That's
and interestingly, the VIP ticket didn't change price. That was the price from start to finish. Mm. And then it just disappeared.
I mean, you're right. Listen, I'm all for transparency, but at the end of the day, if I were an Oasis fan like Mark, there's no way I'm thinking, well, I'm going to get a ticket for £80. I thought these are going to be £300-400 easy.
No, because the minute they'd announced how much they were going to be on sale for, I'm expecting to pay £150 a ticket.
I thought,
do you know what? £600 for four of us.
But I wouldn't expect that because I knew about dynamic pricing. So I think I'm going to be paying. There's no way they're selling me a ticket for £80.
I don't think dynamic pricing it happened when Liam Gallagher played in Ebworth. I don't know for certain because I do remember jumping on it. I think it was £90 a ticket.
Well, that's net worth. That's not a festival. We're not talking about a festival here. We're talking about a concert.
It's not. There's
just Oasis on that net worth.
No. So it was Liam Gallagher. So they will class it as a little mini festival. There'll be three or four bands on. That's all warming up.
Well, I know, but at net worth, were they just Oasis?
No, just Liam Gallagher.
Just him.
And a band, but it wasn't Oasis. It was Liam Gallagher.
Oh.
Yeah. And Nebworth is like a venue.
Yeah. And it was...
It's not a festival.
And it was 80-odd thousand.
Oh, right, okay.
And all outside. And it was highly revered. It was like, wow, Liam Gallagher's... Because he was trying to get Noel to play Nebworth at the same time, and he was having none of it.
I thought Nebworth were... I'm getting confused. I thought that were a festival. There were different bands on.
Nebworth is actually still...
Nebworth.
No, it's an event. It's a place.
Nebworth is a... So
is it? I thought it was a festival.
No.
Is it not?
No.
What is it? Not in a field?
Right. So, if you let me finish.
Is it not in a field?
All right, then, Mark.
Have you heard of Glastonbury?
Yeah.
It's in a place called Glastonbury.
Yeah, but it's in a field. It's not a building.
So, right.
It's a place.
It is. But it's both. So, Nebworth is a stately home.
Well, I don't know. What?
So Nebworth house, Nebworth house.
Yes.
It's
in the house.
No. It's a huge stately home with huge gardens.
Right, so it's exactly what I'm saying.
It's not a festival.
Not a festival.
It's in the fields, outside, an outdoor gig, concert.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not a festival.
So does it stay up all the time, or does it come down?
What, the house?
No, where they have the festival.
The concert.
Yeah,
it's the same as any other concert. They take them down.
Yeah, so it's exactly that's what I'm saying. So it's not a building, it's not a place, it's in a field.
Nebworth House exists and the gardens exist. People rent the field. Yeah, that's right.
But what I'm getting is, my understanding of Nebworth is that they have different artists there, don't they? It's not exclusive to Oasis. They don't just do Oasis.
No. Robbie Williams has played there.
Well, exactly.
On his own concert.
Listen, I don't think I'm getting my point across to you.
Go on, carry on then.
No, I'm just
Nebworth isn't a festival.
No,
that's
but...
That's it.
It's a place.
Okay.
I want to get to the bottom of it.
That has concerts.
What makes you think it's a festival?
Because it's outside.
Because they have different places there and it's not a building. So that's why... And it's outside. So I always class it as a festival.
No. A festival... Is where you have multiple artists at the same time.
That's
in that field at the same time on that stage.
Yeah, Rob, I know that. I just thought that Nebworth were exactly like
Like a small Glastonbury.
Like Glastonbury.
No, no. It is just a venue.
So Taylor Swift, for instance, could do Nebworth. And you might go, there'd be some supporting acts on before Taylor Swift.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there'd be Taylor Swift.
All right, well, that's what I misunderstood. I thought it were like Glastonbury. That's all. Okay.
No. End of the day, though, Mark, you just got to roll with it.
And don't look back in anger.
Absolutely.
So is anyone else going?
Yeah. So...
About 800,000 other people.
I know. So obviously, before the actual tickets went on sale, they announced that they were going to do a ballot, a pre-sale ballot.
Yeah.
And you had to answer a question, and you put your name in a hat, effectively. And then if you were selected, you got to go into a pre-sale, and the likelihood of getting your tickets, I think, was a bit higher, even though they said they weren't guaranteed. So I had a go, Seb had a go, and Seb managed to get tickets. He managed
through the ballot?
Yeah, he managed to get four tickets.
He actually said
to me, look, I only want two tickets. You can have the other two. I was really grateful to him, but I also knew that Rackham wanted to take his daughter. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I only really, you know, I want to go, but I only really want to go, granted, with everybody else, obviously, if I can get Helen and two girls a ticket at the same time.
Because can I just say, but in text messages, you didn't say that. You said, us four. I got really excited. I thought you got us four tickets.
No. There would be I
weren't excited because I don't want to go.
No offense, but I won't be crying on your shoulder to Champagne Supernova. Looks like it will be when I'm stood next to Helen. But so it's going to be a good gig. We're gonna go up. We're all going to camp. Do something on Friday night, and then
you're taking caravan.
We found a campsite.
Very good.
Did you try to get tickets, Rob?
I didn't. Mate.
And did you try, Kirk?
No, I had. I don't really have any interest at all. I think it'll be a great gig. I think I'm not saying that there'll be anything wrong with it, but I've never been a massive Oasis fan. No. I think they've done a couple of good tracks that I like, for me, it's just not there. The only thing I did do was I thought Mark had either got tickets or given up getting tickets, and like Mark, I thought they'd sold out by like lunchtime or whatever. Yeah. When I realised that Mark was still trying to get tickets and the tickets available, I did log on to try and see whether I could try and get through to try and, you know, help or whatever.
I remember.
But in the end, he ended up obviously further along the queue than I was, so it didn't make any difference. But I think it's a great thing. I think it's a great thing that they have got back together. I think it's going to make a lot of people happy.
It's going to make a lot of people very rich.
If they get there.
You're still not convinced, are you?
I'm just playing devil's advocate. It sounded like, I don't know, in 3 months' time, they go, we're cancelling it all. A bit like what the comedian did. What's his name?
Peter Kay.
Bit like, although I understand why he did it. But imagine if Oasis were calling off. Just think of money they would have earned in interest. I mean, okay, everybody gets paid the money, but then interest they would have gone.
I don't think there'll be a fallout now, because the cash out, it's a one. They've only got one hit at it.
Yeah.
And there are rumours.
For the big money.
There are rumours that Noel's going to sell the catalogue.
And the back catalogue.
He won't sell that until they've got this out of the way, because they'll have rights to the, you know, to everything that comes from it.
I also imagine there'll be a fine as well to both of them if they pull out.
Like a penalty.
From the promoters.
There might be, but they'd still get millions of pounds from it, wouldn't they? By doing nothing, because of the interest they make from the money.
You keep saying this. The money's not going in their bank.
No, it's going in there, but it's going in somebody's bank.
Live Nation. I mean, Live Nation.
It's being like a holding account.
I'm not saying the point. What I'm saying is, if they cancel it, regardless who cancels it, and they pay everybody back, all this millions of pounds sat in a bank account is earning interest.
You have seen interest rates, haven't you?
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Well, you put money in savings these days, and your money goes down.
I'm being very cynical, but if they did that, they could do that.
Yeah.
Just think of what money they could get.
On another note, though, you said you're going away in band. Will you go to Manchester for that whole period?
No.
Manchester will be buzzing.
Yeah, well, no, we're going to have kids with us. So I think we'll go to campsite on Friday night.
Kids. How old's they, aren't they?
Well, she's in her 20s.
still a kid, though.
Darcy'll be 14.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
But no, I think... You're right, it'll be rammed, won't it? And I think we'll go to site, we'll have a few beers, chill out, get excited, and, you know, play some Oasis music, and then go to...
You're going
to
play some Oasis music and then go to a concert and have more...
Everybody will.
You would there not be like an overdose Oasis?
That's why I'd be wanting to go into Manchester City Centre to feel the... There'll be a right vibe. There will be a massive vibe.
I love Manchester. In general.
Yeah, I do.
I think Manchester...
Yeah, Manchester's nice.
I've been to Manchester a few times, but not... I've never really like gone out or anything. I've been to Imperial War Museum in Manchester, and been to a couple of meetings in Manchester, but I can't say I've ever done anything outside of it.
It's got a great nightlife, as well as just being a great place. I love
Canal Street, Rob.
Canal Street, yeah.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Fantastic night out. I've been a couple of times out on Canal Street, and it's an absolute fantastic night out.
Is it?
Absolutely.
What sort of night is it? Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. And very glittery.
I can imagine.
Oh, yes, it
very
will
glittery.
Be.
I like the feel of Manchester full stop. Like, even when you're there for the day or... Do you know what I mean? It's just got a buzz about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you go into Sheffield, if you like. And don't get me wrong, there's some nice places in Sheffield or whatever, but do you think it's because I'm from Sheffield I don't feel the buzz? I don't know. I just don't feel as though...
Maybe. Because there's a few places, you know, Manchester's one, Newcastle's another, Liverpool is great,
London.
Are you just working your way through a map?
Well, no, but I'm just saying, there's a few key places that Edinburgh, whereas I wouldn't say the same for Glasgow. Do you know what I mean? But whereas Edinburgh has got it.
Yeah.
Birmingham, I wouldn't, I wouldn't
never
particularly
been out in
say
Birmingham,
that
so I don't
Birmingham.
Know.
Birmingham had City of Culture, didn't it, other year?
Did it?
I think so.
I think it did, actually. Yeah,
and
but
then Liverpool did.
I know Liverpool did years ago. That was years ago, that European City of Culture.
Oh, that's the point. We can't have them anymore, can we?
No.
What about Leeds?
What? City of Culture?
As a place that you
it's
got,
sort of
it's got
right,
that
but
vibe.
It's not, it's
got
a... You know, it's a bit like Sheffield, I think. It's sort of struggling against Manchester.
Yeah, I mean, I was a bit shocked. Leeds is not somewhere where I... have been a lot or whatever, but my wife's from Wakefield, so obviously more that end of the, you know, weird side of Yorkshire is what I like to say. Not from proper Yorkshire like us, but they when we got together and stuff, I went to Leeds a bit more in that area, and I was quite shocked how nice it is, actually. I'll be honest, like, how, again, that feeling, it's not Manchester, not, you know, but I would definitely say that Leeds is better than Sheffield. For atmosphere, I'm not...
Controversial, this.
What we're talking about Leeds, just a strange fact. Leeds is the biggest city in Europe that doesn't have a tram system. There you go, a little fact that...
I didn't know that.
What, that you didn't have a tram system?
I didn't know that... Well, both. No. I didn't know they didn't have a tram system, and I didn't know that there were the...
Anyway, carry on.
Places like that, I do tend to favour some of the... more northern cities like Newcastle and Liverpool, just because you feel like you're somewhere completely different, just purely from the accents. You know, like, because it's so different.
Well, you feel
it?
As though you've gone abroad.
You may as well have.
I've got a soft spot for the Geordie accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like it. I think it's quite a quirky sort of...
Yeah, it's all right.
Seemingly
it's...
happy and warm. Yeah. Sort of accent.
I prefer that over the Scouse.
But I'm certainly not going to... I'm certainly not going to push Sheffield down the.
No, no,
down the list. I think it depends what you call, you know, what you like in a city, I suppose. But Sheffield's definitely got a buzz around it.
It is. We're getting better. It's getting better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're building new things, they're converting things, new bars. There's that new hotel that's opened in Sheffield on Leopold. Is it Leopold Street?
The one attached to Bramall Lane.
No, the
Leopold
one opposite
Square.
Opposite to the Peace Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
That's that new hotel. It's got a roof bar that overlooks Peace Garden. We're sort of getting there, you know, but it's slow.
I just call Class Sheffield as home.
I think it's because it's familiar, isn't it?
And
when you're going for something different, you go, right, I want something less familiar, which is why you go on holiday, isn't it?
Yeah.
You say, I'm going to go away for a weekend. You wouldn't go in your own town, would you, for a weekend? You'd probably go to another city.
It's surprising how much of the UK I haven't seen, if you want me to be honest. In relative terms, we're a small island, aren't we?
We're tiny,
aren't we?
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And when I look at some of the places in the UK that I haven't been, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy, really, because it's only a couple of hours here or, you know, a few hours there and stuff. And I don't think... I don't think enough people do that enough and try different cities and you know.
Think so? I think they do, but I think they tend to latch them onto hen do's, stag do's, and 40ths, don't they?
Yeah, to be fair.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, you go to like Liverpool or Newcastle or even Manchester and Leeds, I suppose,
yep.
And you can guarantee there's going to be a buzz of on that Friday and Saturday night, blokes dressed as women and women walking around with big inflatable things.
Like what?
Well, that's just normal life. That's normal life now, Mark.
Hey?
That's just
paraphernalia.
Normal life, that now. Men dressed as women.
Go on.
Say it.
I'm getting like Mark here. Anatomical.
Don't drag me into this. It's your spelling.
Inflatable anatomy bits.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
We'll go with that.
What gets me is that all these cities are relatively quite close to each other.
Mm.
Yeah. But yet, they're so different. As in, it's almost like each like main area's got their own like culture.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it blew my mind, for instance, when I got with Daisy. So bear in mind, she's just from Wakefield. She's from West Yorkshire.
20 mile away.
And I'm from proper Yorkshire, South Yorkshire, right? And it absolutely blew my mind that when we talked about... So you know what I mean by pie and peas?
Yeah.
So if I said to you three now around this table, we're going to go up, we're going to go out, we're going to have pie and peas, what would you expect?
Pie and peas.
A meat and potato
and
pie.
And a pint of scone.
With some mushy peas.
Mushy peas and gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, so what kind of pie?
Meat and potato pie.
Meat and potato.
Chicken and mushroom, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Oh, no, not in West Yorkshire. In West Yorkshire, pie and peas is pork pie.
What?
Warm pork pie and mushy peas.
What, like, really?
Like pork pie that you have in a pub?
Yeah.
Warm.
Well, that's pork pie. Not a pie. Well, it is a pie, but not...
Listen, I'm with you guys.
I feel you.
But what blew my mind is the fact that Daisy was looking at me as though I was the strange one.
Yeah.
As though I was the strange one. As though pork pie and peas that you have on like bonfire night or whatever when you're out and about is the norm. And I was strange, the fact that I meat and potato. To the point where when we got married, in the evening, we had a hog roast and we had pie and peas.
Mm.
Yeah, for the evening food. And I don't know whether you was sober enough to realise, but...
I wasn't. Mark wasn't.
But the pie, we end up having to have two different pies. We end up having to have pork pie...
For West Yorkshire.
And meat and potato pie.
For South Yorkshire.
Because...
So Kirk can have two pies. Yeah. Can have a bit of each.
I didn't have anything to eat on my wedding night.
Did you not?
Not one... I literally took one bite of a hog roast sandwich and then someone came and said, you've got to go and do your first dance. And that was all I had to eat all night on my wedding night.
Because you ended up in A&E.
I've got a question then, probably more directed towards Daisy then. So if we have a pie and peas, obviously we'd have that warm.
Yes.
Now, when I have pork pie, right, I don't have that warm.
Mm-hmm.
So when they have this pie and mash, pie and peas, sorry.
Pie and mash?
You do have pie and mash, but pie and peas, do they have the peas cold and the pie, or that hot and both warm?
Both warm.
They have pork pie warm?
Yeah.
That's
so,
weird.
So
I'd rather have pork pie warm than cold mushy peas.
So literally, so you know like the jelly and everything that's in a pork pie?
Yeah,
that's runny. They almost like...
Runny?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now, can I just say something?
I mean, that's quite nice.
Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Really?
Since I've been with Daisy, I have tried warm pork pie and peas with a bit of mint sauce. And it's nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take anything away from it.
No, but it's not beef and theatre, is it?
But it's not pie and peas.
No. And it's not, you need a nice crusty pastry.
And it's literally 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
Another thing what I find confusing with food is when you go to a chip shop and you're trying to get a scallop or fish scallop.
Yeah.
So first of all, I'm talking about a piece of fish with obviously sandwiched between two pieces of a potato. Yeah.
Yes.
And then battered.
Battered.
It's a fish cake.
Yeah. Now, I call it a scallop, right? Not a fish cake.
That's from Sheffield, that's why.
A fish cake is obviously them smaller things.
No, that's a rissole.
That's
a fish cake.
No, that's a rissole.
That's a fish cake
to
me.
What is called a dida.
I'm from Sheffield.
Yeah.
So again, these are called different things. So
a fish cake is a piece of fish... cakes in between two pieces of paper. Two pieces of paper.
Sorry, I'm confused myself. Yes, sorry. God, yeah, I'm confused myself. That is a fish cake to me, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fish cake.
So what's a scallop?
So
it's just potato.
Just a potato.
Battered potato.
A battered potato.
Yeah, which is correct.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but if you do go to other places like Lincolnshire... Then the fish cake that we would call, they call it a Yorkshire fish cake because that's what we call it.
Yeah, and those some small things are rissoles.
Rissoles,
that's
right.
So some places in Yorkshire, you go to, that's why I got confused. You go and I'll go, can I have a fish cake? And they
give you a rissole.
And they give me a rissole. I'm going, oh no. And then I'm going, no, that
I don't
going,
want a bird's eye fish cake. I want a proper fish cake.
And they're going, oh, you mean a scallop? I'm like, no,
fish, that,
fish cake.
Yeah,
but again, there's differences in that, you know, because every time I go in, I go, can I have a fish cake? But it's one, and they go, no, you mean a fish, or fish scallop sometimes they call them.
Try travelling the country and asking for a bread cake.
Oh, God, I know.
A cob.
I mean, what's, it's a bread cake.
It's a bread cake,
absolutely.
Yes.
Where is it that calls it a cob?
Look, I've heard it cob, roll, bread roll, tea cake.
Tea cake.
Tea cake's got fruit in it.
Barnsley, they call them tear cake.
Tear cake.
They pronounce every letter. They say,
yeah.
You want a tear cake?
Bomb cake. Bomb
and
cake.
And it's got crumbs in your tongue. That's a fruit tear cake.
In fact, I'm sure I saw somebody on Facebook's call a bread cake a scone.
Well, that's just silly.
That's just stupid.
No, somebody said something. They went, no, it's a scone. They went, what do you call scones? And they went, we don't know what scones are. I'm like, oh, come on.
I remember going to a chippy once in Lincoln, right? And I can't remember what I ordered. And she said, do you want scrimps with that?
What?
Oh, scraps.
Scrimps.
And scrimps?
I were like, what? Do you want scrimps? And I were like, what's... And it were bits.
Scraps or bits.
Scrimps.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I've lost track of the amount of arguments I've had about a bread cake, but it's a bread cake.
Yeah, bread cake. That is a big one, isn't it?
That's it. That's a bread cake.
What I don't understand is, when, like, I don't know, we started off with Adam and Eve, apparently. And then when we had his,
where's this going?
You know,
we
had his first couple who landed on this island, you know, Dave and Mildred or whatever you want to call them.
Oh, and I read about
them.
And they were like, right.
And they had pie and peas.
We'll start a family, and then they just start a family, and then the family fleet nest, and they go, right, I'm bored of this where I live now. There's nobody else on this island apart from us. I'm going to go further up north, but when I get up there, I'm going to talk different.
It's not the same people.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
well, anyway.
Well, I thought it were related to back in hundreds of years ago.
Well, this would have been a long before that, Rob.
I get that. But I thought
I
it was
go
to
back
do
to food anyway. Go
accents
on.
Came from like the Anglo-Saxons and different armies taking over different areas, and they came with their own accents.
That's exactly
from the
right.
countries,
right.
Right?
And so where they started, Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
They started off, them two.
They were Yorkshire, I think.
Wherever they started, Garden of Eden and wherever that was, and they were like, right, they had kids and then they said, right, we're going to fleet nest. I'm going to go to, I don't know, Turkey, or I'm going to go to America, or I'm going to, well, maybe not, it's not been found yet.
Are they getting there?
They're working their way around the Middle East to different countries, and they make their way across to Europe, and then all of a sudden they start off speaking whatever language they talk, then they get to Spain, they go, I'm fed up of talking like that. I'm going to make up a language called Spanish.
I get where you're coming from, Mark.
Because
how does it start? That's what you're saying.
All these people didn't fall out of the sky and go, I'm Spanish, I'm German, I'm Austrian, I'm English, I'm Italian. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It started off apparently as one couple that decided that they were going to have a family,
yep,
and
yep.
that family would then strangely breed with themselves and then spread into more people, spread across the world. And as they were spreading across the world, they were going, my dad talks like this, I don't like that. I'm going to talk like that. I'm going to... You know,
Mark. Strangely, I'm with you on this.
Do you know what I mean?
As in, they're speaking French, they're speaking Spanish, but how was that occurred?
Yeah.
Why have they suddenly started speaking a different?
And then you've got people that like right. They start off in Rotherham and they say, right, I'm going to make a new town called Barnsley, and I'm going to open a fast food place called it a Chip Oil.
Well, you see, dialects I can understand because people get lazy with the words. But when you're talking about
lazy with the words and just changing them completely.
But when you're talking about different languages, that's completely different. But you go, where does this start?
But I think I understand. I understand what you're saying. But first of all, you've got to decide whether you're going to buy into Adam and Eve or not. That's one question. That's one thing. But then the way that you've just described it, I understand. But you're skipping thousands of years.
I think you're starting from
the process is the same.
I wasn't. I'm thinking about from day one.
But the process is the same.
How does it start?
Yeah, but that's like saying, how did English start?
Yeah, but that's... No, it's not. That's completely different.
It's exactly what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is the two people that started off were speaking a particular... Well, they were probably grunting at each other.
Yeah, they
words
hadn't
been invented yet. They weren't a dictionary. They didn't know what to say. So
yeah,
they started
grunting.
Off grunting. They had two kids. They decided when they got to 18, which there were rules then, that they have to change. Do you know what I mean? They got a passport... That you know, out of slate, and decide right. Let's cross here, and I'll draw a line in the ground, and I'm going to say that is no longer wherever I am, and I'm going to make a new country, and I'm going to talk different over thousands of years.
No, but going back to your point, I can understand where like one language came from, like let's say English, because obviously they started grunting and they put in sounds together, and when words come out. But then what I don't understand is how French then start.
I don't think it started off with English, is what I'm saying. If we did start with Adam and Eve, we'd have started in the Middle East.
Yeah, but I think what Mark's saying is the fact that he understands how one language can...
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, because then, of grunting and sounds and then they go, you know...
Maybe it did start with English.
Well...
Who knows?
Well, I'm not saying it did or it didn't, but let's say it started with Spanish or French. Don't matter what language it started with, how does it evolve into all these other languages? That's what I'm saying.
Well, because you've got different generations of people, so they might have started off by speaking whatever language, right? But you might have to go through 30 generations before it turns into something else, and that's just down to someone calling something something else, calling something someone else or whatever.
So what you're telling me is that in 30 generations' time,
yes,
people in Rotherham will be talking differently to what they are now?
Maybe. How do we know?
No chance.
But do you not think that 30 generations ago, language was different? We already know that...
Probably no internet.
We already know that Middle England and stuff like that and, you know, talked very different to how we speak now.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we're primitive. But we're now a very intelligent, supposedly.
Well, a lot of people would say that Middle England was more English, that speaks more English than what we do now. We're the ones that have created slang. We're the ones that have created... different variations of word and abbreviations of words. We don't speak what you would call the Queen's English or the King's English or whatever it is now. So language, as a lot of people would say, devolved over the years, but it's still changed.
No, it's not devolved at all. There are more words in the vocabulary now than there ever have been. And that will always be the case.
Yes, more... No. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, no. I think what you mean by devolved, as in we don't speak the Queen's English. We're very loose with us words, and we don't.
If we travelled now from where we are now back 300 years to the same place,
we could seat Bertha Mark,
and we.
Hello, guys. I'm here.
And we travel back. There's a good chance that we could speak to someone. We're both speaking English. We're both speaking fundamentally the same language.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't understand us because the language has changed.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I understand what. I understand the principle of what you're saying, but I don't think it's going to carry on changing to the point of it becoming something completely different.
What blows my mind is way far from many of you, but even way more modern.
Now there's
than that.
A surprise.
even just in the UK, and I would say it's modern in comparison to the time scales that you're talking about, but even just London, Cockneys, with Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah.
Who thought that saying brown bread would be easier than just saying they were dead? You know, we had to make up things. That's giving me an idea. You keep talking amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
I've got an idea.
I think it's...
Oh, dear.
That I think is people creating a type of comic...
Almost like inventing their own on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're a bit more comical. You heard about something? Oh, yeah, brown bread. You know, and it's a bit more like jovial, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's what they've done. They've deliberately done something.
I'd be willing to bet, and I don't know, and I'm not claiming to know any kind of facts around it at all, but I'd be willing to bet that something like Cockney rhyming slang was developed by someone for, I don't want to say secret communication, but
by code,
a way of communicating by code.
I'd like to think that don't let Hitler know that he's dead or that he went upstairs
because like saying like, oh, he's brown bread, you wouldn't think that. I mean, we know that means dead or going up apples and pears, it's stairs.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't if you didn't know that, you wouldn't, no. You'd go,
you wouldn't know.
I found him. I'm going to test you.
Oh, okay.
Some Cockney rhyming slang,
stairs, apples and pears.
I'm going to do it very fast, right?
You're going to test some Cockney rhyming.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you the Cockney, and you've got to tell me what it is.
Okay. Are we just shouting out?
Yeah. Shout as fast as you can. I'm going to do it really fast.
I'll be slow on this.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right. Army and Navy.
Gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Basin of gravy.
What?
Basin of gravy. Hold on. Will it help if I say it in it? Hold on. Apples and pears. Army and Navy. Right. Basin of gravy.
Basin of gravy.
Are you Welsh?
Baby. That's what it is.
Baby, right?
Bees and Annie.
Money.
Borrow and beg.
Leg.
No. Borrow and beg.
Skeg.
Egg. Bottle and stopper.
What?
I didn't think you were going to get that one. Let me know that. Coles and Coke.
Look.
Broke.
Oh,
yeah.
Broke.
And that's a look. Dustbin lids. That one very company, was it?
Kids.
I'll give you the one.
I'm not also whether it were kids.
Is it kids?
Kids, yeah.
Dustbin lids.
Duck and dive.
What?
Duck and dive.
Chive.
Hide. That doesn't really work, does it? Yeah. Fisherman's daughter. That's an easy one. Fisherman's daughter.
Daughter.
Water.
Yeah. Gay and arty.
What?
Gay and hearty. But I'm trying to say it in Cockney.
Gay and arty.
Gay and arty.
That's what you are at weekends.
Naughty.
Come on, you want to come to gay and arty?
Arty.
Yes. Light and dark. You're coming for a walk in the light and dark park. Merry-go-round.
Pound.
Yes. Pig and roast.
Toast.
Yes.
Mark's a good...
Yeah, I used to be a chimney sweep.
I'm going to go and get some money out of the rattle and clank.
Bank.
Yeah. I had a good old drink. I'm feeling a bit scotch mist.
Pissed.
Yay!
No, that
there's
one.
Loads more, but I'm not going to bore you with them all.
Quite good. Everybody in London listen to this and we're going, these are rubbish.
His accent is horrific.
That last one, I sadly went to a wake on the weekend and obviously I had quite a bit to drink. And Ellen went, come on, because she came. I said, come on down, Ellen, come on. I'm coming down, but I'm not having enough to drink because she's trying to get herself into shape for the holiday. And I said, nah, come on anyway. So anyways, got to a certain point when I've literally... past the point of no return. You know, I was, what is it? Scotch mist.
Yeah.
Scotch mist. And, so brought me home and I can't remember. But then I got up at middle of the night for a drink and I remember pouring myself a cordial. And obviously you start off with a cordial, poured it into my glass, filled it up with a water bar. And when I looked at the glass, it was just water. So we're like, well, I've obviously not put enough in that. It would completely see through. So I put more in, then it were orange and I drank it and I took the rest of it up to bed with me. And I got up next morning and Ellen went, why did you pour orange cordial into my teacup?
Oh, dear. Time at the bar, please.
Let's do the Willy features.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Oh. Come on. You're nearly there.
The Willy features.
Right, so there's nothing to talk about from last week because we did Dead or Alive.
Oh, we did, yeah.
So nothing to go.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I did actually. Yeah, really good, Mark. That.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to doing that again. So, ready to spin the wheel?
It might be today.
Here we go.
Which one's it going to be?
Is it?
Which one?
What is it?
Hey!
What is it?
Fact dump.
Hey, oh. Fact dump. Play the jingle, Kirk.
He's not got one.
I haven't made one yet.
Oh, you've let the side down.
I've made two in time, and you've not made any.
You have. Shall we talk about how many episodes I've edited since you read two?
No. A very good point.
Listeners aren't bothered about that.
All right, yeah, absolutely. But I have got some facts ready to go. If you want
here
them.
We go.
Excellent.
Love facts.
Let's have it.
Okay, settle in. How much do you think a cloud weighs?
A cloud?
A cloud
in the sky.
I don't think you can weigh a cloud.
It's got a weight, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's got mass, yeah.
I'm going to say, it depends how big it is, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I've...
An average
a kilo.
Cloud.
A kilo, you're going with?
Oh, hang on. Clouds have rain in them, don't they? So they're going to be quite
moisture,
heavy.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be heavier than we think.
Okay. A litre of water weighs a kilo.
Oh, okay. I'm not very good with weights.
So I'm just trying to imagine what that would look like as mist.
We're getting into this, aren't we?
No, but clouds can be so many different sizes.
Yeah, well, we're talking average. I mean, anyway,
this,
go
this
for
just
it.
Talks about a typical cloud. Okay. That's all it says. It says the word of a typical cloud.
I'll go to go for 10 kilo.
10 kilo, a kilo, and...
I'll go for 5 then.
5 kilo. It weighs around 1 million tons.
What?
What?
Yeah, a cloud weighs around 1 million tons. A cloud typically has a volume of around 1 kilometer cubed and a density of blah, blah, blah. Basically, it means that it's...
You're talking about a big... Oh, we're talking about a little cloud.
Basically, yeah. It means it's got a density, a low density. That's why it floats. But yeah. It weighs about around 1 million tons.
Wow.
Giraffes are 30 times more likely to get hit by lightning than people.
Oh. I think well,
that's because they're tall.
30 times the height.
Yeah,
I think you're fine. Giraffes don't exist, Kirk.
I'm guessing so. Yes, giraffes exist, Rob. Of course giraffes exist. Are you stupid?
Are you stupid, Rob? Are you stupid?
What, awake or asleep? probably awake, because they don't sleep very much.
Yeah. Your brain is constantly eating itself.
What?
Yeah. Your brain is constantly eating itself. This process is called...
eating itself.
Phagocytosis. Phagocytosis.
Was it?
Yeah.
Easy for you to say.
So yeah, it's eating itself.
Does it eat itself and then does it grow back?
So where cells envelop and consume smaller cells or molecules to remove them from the system.
Hmm. And then you sneeze, which is like your brain having a poo.
Guess what colour the cosmos is? If you were to look at the cosmos through a telescope, what is its average colour across the cosmos?
I'm going to say
the universe.
Orange.
I would say green.
So it's latte.
Of course it is.
Oh, it's got a flavour as well.
It's latte. Water. It's latte colour.
Which is what colour?
Green.
Well, it just
orange.
It's a beige colour. Apparently, it's a beige colour.
Oh, very interesting.
Okay. And I've got one more for you.
Okay.
Water is not wet.
Is it not?
Apparently.
How is it not wet?
Okay. So,
what?
Scientists define wetness as a liquid's ability to maintain contact with a solid surface. Meaning that water itself is not wet.
Ah.
It can make other objects wet.
Yeah.
Ah,
water itself is not wet. Not wet.
Well, because it runs off your skin, doesn't it? Technically, it doesn't soak into your skin. So I guess that's why.
Absolutely. One quick one. What do you think's the oldest dog that's ever lived?
What do I think of it?
No. Yeah. How old do you think it was?
It was feeling wolf.
In human life, so dog lives, because it always gets a bit confusing.
Well, it just in human years.
Right.
102.
102?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to say something a bit more reasonable.
Yeah.
Now, I do know that small dogs, i.e. like Jack Russells, can live into the 20s, early 20s. So I'm going to hazard a guess at something, a little bit of a stretch of that, and say 34.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm not very good with dogs, but I know, like Mark said, some can live longer than others. But I'm going to say something like 57.
Okay, so the answer is 29 and a half.
Ooh.
So not far apart.
Yeah.
It says the median age of a dog tends to be about 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
One Australian cattle dog, Bluey, survived to the ripe old age of 29 and a half.
Wow. Do you know what? Just on that, someone told me a fact today that I did not know. It's based on animals. Did you know... Is it eagles or hawks, or one of them? they have a lifespan of around, I think it's 40 years, and then the only way they can survive is by pulling out their talons and breaking off their beak in order for a new one to grow, because the beak that they have from birth is pretty much whatever happens to it becomes. They can't use it, therefore they'll just die. The only way they can survive is if they break their own beak and rip out the talons out of their own feet, or whatever you call them, and it will live for another 40 years. And if it doesn't do that, it will die. So it has that choice to make.
How does it know?
I don't know.
It just knows,
I guess it's just
it?
Survival, isn't it? It
must
know.
Dave, you need to be careful. You're 39 now. You need to look at pulling your toenails off.
So, is you saying that then, Rob, does that indicate that some birds go, I can't be bothered, I'm just going to die? Or do they all do it?
It's a specific bird, and I think it's a bird of prey.
Yeah, I know, but you said the only way for them to survive is for them to do that.
Yeah.
So, do they all do it then? Or does some go, I'm not
going
to do it?
They're all looking around going, he didn't pull his beak off. Yeah. I'm not making that bloody mistake.
Absolutely. Anyway, on that note.
On that.
Yeah, absolutely.
See you all later.
It's been a pleasure.
See you later,
guys.
See you, boys.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.